Kritam, already done. Pura, before. Bhagavata, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kapilasya, Kapila, Anuvarnitam, fully described. Akyasye, I shall now describe. Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajna, name of Yajnapati. Yat, whatever. Chakara, executed. Kurudvaha, O best of the Kurus. Translation, O best of the Kurus, I have already described in the third canto the activities of Kapila, the son of Devahuti. Now I shall describe the activities of Yajnapati, the son of Akuti. Text 7, Svayambhuvamanu, the husband of Satarupa, was by nature not at all attached to the enjoyment of the senses. Thus he gave up his kingdom of sense enjoyment and entered the forest with his wife to practice austerities. Purport, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Evam Parampara Praptingam Amrajar Shayo Viduhu, the supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. All the Manus were perfect kings. They were Rajarshis. In other words, although they held posts as kings of the world, they were as good as great saints. Svayambhuvamanu, for example, was the emperor of the world, yet he had no desire for sense gratification. This is the meaning of monarchy. The king of the country or emperor of the empire must be so trained that by nature he renounces sense gratification. It is not that because one becomes king, he should unnecessarily spend money for sense gratification. As soon as kings become degraded, spending money for sense gratification, they were lost. Similarly, at the present moment, monarchy has been lost and people have created democracy, which is also failing. Now, by the laws of nature, the time is coming when dictatorship will put the citizens into more and more difficulty. If the king or dictator individually or the members of the government collectively cannot maintain the state or kingdom according to the rules of Manu Samhita, certainly their governance will not endure. Translation, Svayambhuvamanu, the husband of Sataru, who was by nature not at all attached to sense enjoyment, thus he gave up his kingdom of sense enjoyment and entered the forest with his wife to practice austerities. So this is the beginning of a little story to tell about Yajna or Yajnapati, another incarnation of the Supreme Lord, who was the son of Akuti. And this is all happening during the lifetime of Svayambhuva Manu. So Svayambhuva's Manu, his reign, or his the duration of his rulership is technically 71 yuga cycles. However, he does not personally govern that whole time. He gives the charge of the kingdom to his descendants. So when he does that, then those descendants will reign for the rest of the 71 yuga cycles. And then when a new manu comes, he rules, and then his descendants rule for another 71 yuga cycles. So at a certain point in time, Svayambhuvamanu, after reigning or ruling for a long time, then he retired from ruling. So technically this is a vanaprastha life. So he gives up interest in the kingdom. And we see that, as in the case of others also, when they renounce, like Bharat Maharaj, they may be doing extreme austerities in the forest, even though they were previously kings. So the life of the vanaprastha, of course, is, according to scripture, quite austere. The person has to live in the forest. That's literally what vanaprastha means. Marching off to the forest is vanaprastha. And, of course, the man can take his wife with him at that time. But he lives a very simple life in the forest. He may not eat cooked food. He may just simply gather the fruits or the roots in the forest. He does not wear regular clothing. He takes the bark of trees and he uses that as clothing. So he has no facilities for enjoying at all. He's a very, very austere life. And we see that as the case of Bharat, for instance. He's up in the Himalayas, daily bathing in the cold water and living very simply. That is the case here. As we see Swayambhuva Manav going off to the forest. So it mentions here that he was not at all attracted to his kingdom. He gave it up very easily. And performed austerities in the forest. So technically, that is the prime function of the vanaprastha, austerity. Yeah? The prime function of the brahmachari is study. Study the Vedas. The function of the grihastha is to raise his family. Work. The prime function of the vanaprastha is austerity. Why? Because through austerity he will give up his previous attachments in the grihastha life. And then finally, sannyas, which means complete renunciation, means that he is free to meditate on the Supreme Lord. So each ashram has its particular strong point, which is very functional. So the function of the brahmachari is ultimately study. He should learn the Vedas so he can conduct his life properly. And the grihastha has to support his family and follow the principles of dharma and charity. And the vanaprastha has to begin to become detached from that previous household life. And then finally, when he's really detached, he can very easily meditate on the Supreme Lord as a sannyasi. So this is the general progress of a person's life from his early life to his late life. Swayambhuva Manu, who had gone up to the stage of vanaprastha, because he was a kshatriya, technically he would not take sannyas. That's reserved for brahmanas. So he would just get up to the vanaprastha stage. And that is exactly what he did. So in that doing this, he set a good example for others. As we know, the king should set a good example for other people. So in ruling, he has to have good conduct and set an example for others. And then he has to follow all the rules exactly. So the rule of the for a grihastha is at a certain time he has to give up his family and take vanaprastha. So he did this to set an example for other people. Of course, in one sense, he was a great devotee of the Lord, so he was not really attached in his household life either, so it wasn't really necessary. Yeah? He didn't have to go through austerities, etc., but to set an example for others, he did these austerities. Just as we see someone like Krishna, he went to the Gurukul. He didn't have to go to the Gurukul because he already knows the Vedas. He knows everything. But he went to show that one should go to the Gurukul and learn the Vedas and whatever. Yeah? So in this sense, the Swayambhuva Manu was setting an example for other people by doing this. By nature, he was not really attached to sense enjoyment at all. So therefore, it wasn't really necessary that he has to go through this life of austerity, etc. But he did it for setting an example for the common man, who may be very attached to his household situation. Therefore, he is a good inspiration for a grihastha to renounce. It was easy for him to do this, to go to this vanaprastha stage. For some people, it is not easy at all. It's very difficult to do this. They cannot give up. they find it very difficult to give up their attachment to their family members and to their house, etc. They're very, very attached. So we see that generally it is advised at the age of 50, when the grandchildren appear, a person should leave the house. So it is a well-known type of conduct. But how many people follow that? Nobody. Even 500 years ago, not many people followed it. We don't see many people taking fun of prostha even in 500 years ago. What to speak of sannyas. So it wasn't very common. Everyone got stuck in household life. And then why they didn't go further? Because of attachment. So once the children are married, then they have children, and then they become attached to the children and the grandchildren, and they cannot leave. And of course, they're not looking forward to giving up the comforts of life and living austerely. So, in most cases, household life takes its toll, and they don't go any further. One of the reasons for that, of course, is that they didn't follow the system anyway. And that is, none of them took brahmachari life. They simply got married. Which is what we see nowadays also. Technically, everyone should go through brahmachari life except sutras. And then they, after years of brahmachari life, then they get married. And then at a certain time, they take vanaprastha. But not many people take brahmachari life. So just as very rarely we see, even 500 years ago, people took vanaprastha, very rarely they went to the Gurukul also. Only some Brahmins would do that. But others wouldn't do it at all. So very unlikely that they would go through brahmachari life. What to speak of nowadays? 500 years ago, we don't see many people taking brahmachari life seriously. So, of course, we see Krishna did that. He went off to Avantipur with his brother, and they lived in the Gurukul with their guru there, and he taught them the Vedas and other things. But not a common practice. So, because of that, people are not familiar with the goal of life taught in the Vedas, nor are they familiar with austerity at all. So the main purpose of the brahmachari life is learn the Vedas. But along with that, then they also have austerity. So many rules for the brahmachari that create that austerity. Cannot sleep in a bed, has to sleep on the floor, cannot wear shoes, cannot use umbrella, cannot use perfumes, cannot use oil, can only eat if the guru says he can eat, has to serve the guru. Whatever, like this. So many, many rules he has to follow, which create a sense of austerity. So if that training is not there in the beginning of life, what is expected when he becomes a householder? He will not have any sense of austerity at all, and therefore it will be very difficult afterwards to go back to a life of austerity. He will be very afraid to do that. He's not accustomed to it at all. He has no taste for it. So then he won't take vanaprastha at all, what to speak of sannyas. So, therefore, the whole system more or less has become corrupted, and only the form is there and the rules are there, but nobody follows too well. In the case of Swayambhuvamana, it was the opposite. He was by nature very detached, so he didn't actually have to take vanaprastha life. He's already detached. And therefore, it was also very easy for him to take this step, in spite of the fact that he had opportunity for more sense enjoyment than anybody in the kingdom. He had all wealth. He had all facilities. Yet he was willing to go to this extreme measure of renouncing everything, all the wealth and the family, everybody, and go off to the forest. So it was not difficult for him because his nature was such. Of course, why was his nature like this? Is because he was attracted to the Supreme Lord. And this whole story is how he met Yajna, another incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So he was very qualified anyway. So his austerity was not for austerity's sake. It was because he was simply attached to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he renounced all material things as being insignificant. So he went off to the forest, and he went with his wife. That is a vanaprastha. He doesn't have to give up the wife. So he goes with the wife, and the husband and the wife both practice austerities in the forest. So this is not so extreme as sannyas. It is midway between sannyas and grihastha life. Renunciation of children and grandchildren and house, but not renunciation of wife. And sannyas means also renunciation of wife. So it is partial renunciation. He went with his wife to the forest. And then it's described that, what does the forest mean? For instance, and we say that grihe tako vane tako, you can live in the house, you can live in the forest. So the forest means opposite of the house. No comforts. So when we talk about living in the forest or going off to the forest, what it means is you renounce the comforts of life. It's not you go to a forest and then you build a nice fancy house there and live in the house in the forest. Then so you're living in a house again. You're still a grihastha. But living in the forest means that you may have a very simple hut or something like that, very simple hut in the forest. But it also means no protection. There's wild animals. There's heat and cold. No steady income. Nothing. So you have to depend on what is in the forest. So it's a very, we can say, insecure type of life in one sense. And that adds to the austerity. So going to the forest, therefore, means giving up all the comforts of the house. Eating very simply, wearing simple clothes, and not socializing with other people. Forest, this means alone, nobody's there. So we have no family members or friends or relatives around at all. So it is a very distinct change of environment to take vanaprastha. So one should practice this for some years to get used to such a life. So in this case, of course, we see that Swayambhuvamana had no difficulty in doing this because he was already detached from everything. So going to the forest was actually welcome. Then he was free of all the duties he had to do as a king. And instead he could concentrate on spiritual activities. So, of course, in Swayambhuvamana's case, he was not just renouncing, but he was also worshipping the Supreme Lord. This we see in the case of Bharat Maharaj also. Yes, he took vanaprastha, he renounced, he was doing austerities, but he was also worshipping the Supreme Lord. And he also saw the Supreme Lord personally. He had darshan of the Supreme Lord. So Swayambhuvamana was also similar to that. Very, very great personality. Of course, we can say that they're actually in the same line. Bharat also appeared. Rishabhadev and Bharat appeared in the same line from Swayambhuvamana, their descendants. So both are very highly qualified persons. So the Swayambhuvamana, therefore, was a highly qualified person and followed the rules of the Varnashram system. And he was also devotee of the Supreme Lord. So though he did austerities as was prescribed for a vanaprastha, that was not his ultimately wonderful quality. Wonderful quality was he was a devotee of the Supreme Lord. That's for the devotee, that is the main quality. In the other verses following, describes his austerities, etc. But more important than austerities is his worship of the Supreme Lord, his position as a devotee. That's much more important. And because of that, all of this was very easy to do. He could give up the kingdom, he could live simply, he could follow the ideal conduct of a vanaprastha without any difficulty. For a sannyasi, what happens to the wife? The wife is taken by the sons. Whatever. Anyway, she goes back to the sons and they take care of her. Of course, she can also go to an ashram, a widow's ashram in Vrindavan or whatever, and that's what they do in modern times. But otherwise, she would go back to the family and the family would take care of her. Yeah. Of course, it's not a formal there's no formal renunciation for the wife there. She simply follows the husband, that's all. And in the case of Bharat, it looks like the wife didn't go. We don't see the wife there at all in that case. Ah, it's described like that, that one varna, everybody was highly qualified. In Kali Yuga, there's also one varna. Everybody is sudra or less. Unqualified. the gunas become more distinct as the ages progress and they go downwards from sattva to tamagun. Well, technically in the varnashram system, they don't emphasize that so much. That's more reserved for the sannyasi. And the vanaprastha is more the tapas. He does tapas. But of course, they would also do some sort of worship and whatever. Maybe sacrifices and things like this as well. In the case of Swayambhuva, of course, he was a devotee of the Lord. So therefore, he would also worship the Supreme Lord. That we see in the case of Bharat. He would be meditating every day on the Supreme Lord. That's his devotional activity. Well, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, actually, even sannyas ashram wasn't prominent until Bhakti Siddhanta. There was no thing like that. They had a Babaji thing instead, which was took the place of vanaprastha and sannyas. That was the Babaji ashram. That's also, it's permitted. One can go to sannyas from any ashram. Though normally we see in most sampradayas they will progress upwards, but we see Madhva sampradaya, they go from brahmachari to sannyas. They don't go through grihastha at all. Sri sampradaya usually they go to brahmachari then grihastha. They probably vanaprastha they don't do. It's not a very popular ashram as such, and then sannyas. Vanaprastha with a wife, as in the case here with a wife.